The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
Now, as we continue in worship today, we have a real special treat because Brandon and Angie Johnson are here with us today, and they are missionaries with Youth for Christ. When I first came here to this church, they were teaching in ABF, and look at where God took them, all around the world to Cyprus, and we're so thankful that we can call you our own, sort of, right? We can. Okay, so I think you get the award for coming the furthest today to church, so thank you for that. I don't think so, but at this time, it's such a blessing to have them with us, and we're so glad that you, your wife, could be with you this time. We see you sometimes alone, and your family, so let's say a word of prayer for Brandon and Angie, and then we'll give them this pulpit. Father, thank you. Truly, thank you for Brandon and Angie Johnson. Thank you, Lord, that they are new creations in Christ Jesus. That they have experienced the miracle of the new birth. And now, in Cyprus, they're seeking to share you. And Brandon's ministry is reaching all around this world through Youth for Christ. So we pray, Father, you would give him a special endowment of your wisdom, of strength, of love, of all that is necessary to train others who will train others who will train others. We give you all the glory. Thank you for sending them to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 25, verse 35 through 40. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.
Amen. Thanks. Before we begin today, on behalf of Angie and I and my children as well, I just want to say thank you so much for what you as a church body and as individuals mean to us and our family. And I shared earlier, you know, and it had been 3 years for our whole family to come and visit. And yet the moment we walk in the doors from outside, we feel like we're at home. And we feel so supported and loved by you. And so we thank you for your financial support and your prayers. So yeah, we always enjoy coming back. And so it's a privilege and honor to be able to stand before you. And I pray God will reach you today through the word. And one time, Angie and I were on holiday, and I want to pause because our English, living 9 years overseas, has become a little different. It's become a little more British, Queen's English. So holiday means vacation. Some of you may know that. You know, we put petrol in our car. We don't put gas. And we drive on the motorway, not the freeway. And so, you know, a few of those words may slip in. I apologize ahead of time. Angie and I were on vacation, and this may have been before we even had children. I don't remember. It's been a while. And we were going to a grocery store one evening to get some food for the night. And there was a woman sitting outside the entryway, and she was in a wheelchair. And, you know, she was asking people for help as they were going in. And I don't know what your general reaction or typical reaction is when you see somebody like that. But this time was different from me. As we were approaching and I saw her, I felt something inside me. And I believe truly it was the Holy Spirit convicting me that I needed to go talk to her. And, you know, but I was on vacation. I just wanted food. We were, you know, hungry. I didn't want to, you know, I'm a holiday. Maybe if I get back and I can speak to people then. But no, if I really felt if I didn't go talk to her, I would regret it. And I would be wrestling with that for a while to come. And so I went up to her and spoke to her a little bit, and she shared that she was really just hungry and she wanted food. And so I went inside and I bought a meal from the deli and went back out, and I gave it to her, and you know, she was very grateful, and she went, you know, her way, and we went ours. And you know, I mentioned that story because today what I'm going to be speaking about is I'm continuing a series now that began 2 weeks ago, and Pastor David started this series, and we're looking at the mission statement of the church. We invite all generations and all cultures to share life together, that all might be transformed by the power of Christ. And so David looked at the why, that we be transformed. And last week, Pastor Rick looked at what this means here in Centennial for you as both as individuals and as a church body, to invite and to live life together, to practice hospitality is a word he used often. And that's where I'm doing it. I'm going to take a look at it from a little bit different perspective of, you know, what living on the other side of the world, how that's influenced how we view that, how we practice that. And I hope also to leave you with a few ideas of things we've learned that maybe will help you as you try and do these things. And so I started with that story of this woman in front of the church, or in front of the grocery store today, because that's my oldest memory of God really convicting me of something that I knew, but I didn't necessarily live out and constantly keep in mind. And that is that every single person that you and I come into contact with is created in the image of God. You are created in the image of God, and every person you come into contact with is created in the image of God. And God loves them. No matter what life choices they've made, no matter what their current experience is, they're created in the image of God, and God loves them. And God was kind of saying, Brandon, do you really believe that? And do you live your life when you interact with anybody, whether it's for a few seconds, whether it's the guy who cut you off in traffic, whether it's a family member, do you treat them and interact with them as somebody who is created in the image of God? And I love that verse today that Angie read is really convicting. It's from Matthew 25, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." And then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we do those things? When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or need clothing and clothe you? And when did we see you as sick or in prison and go visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of these, at least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." And as I was studying this passage and looking at it in preparation, I really were convinced that this isn't an exhaustive list. You know, this isn't the only situations in which we encounter Christ and we serve him by serving others. And I was thinking, what else if we could sit down for an extra half an hour with Jesus, what else might he add to the list? And I was thinking, might he say, "For when I was lonely, you looked at me, smiled at me, and talked with me." Or, "For when I was sad, you asked me what was wrong, and you listened to me. When I was overwhelmed, you let me cry on your shoulder. For when I was new, you made me feel included. Or for when I was different, you didn't make me feel judged." And we could probably keep adding to this list. But I think there's so many ways, if we have this mindset of viewing every single person we come into contact with as created in the image of God, we can begin to do this where we are inviting people, we're living life together. And, I was looking at different definitions. Last week, Pastor gave the biblical definition, and he shared the Greek word and what it meant. And I am very nervous about doing that, because I actually live in a culture where they speak Greek. So whenever I preach, I am very nervous. I'm going to pronounce a Greek word and give the definition, because I know there's somebody in the audience who actually speaks the language better than I do and knows if I'm really defining it correctly. So actually, I found found in the American Heritage Dictionary. That's a little safer for me. The definition of hospitality. It's the act or practice of one who is hospitable, or reception and entertainment of strangers or guests without reward, or with liberality and kindness. I was really struck by that one part where it says, the reception and entertainment of strangers or guests without reward. You know, to do this, to practice hospitality, is helping somebody with no strings attached. It's helping somebody with no expectation of any return. And I think really at the heart of it, we have to have that mentality to do this and to do it well, that every person we're helping, every person we're coming into contact with, they are created in the image of God and God loves them. Because when we live out of that and we begin to invite others and all generations, all cultures, and we share life together, we do hospitality, lives will be changed. People will become more like Christ and be transformed by his power. And it's not because of what you and I are doing, but it's because of the power of the Holy Spirit working through us to accomplish that. And so today, I want to share a little bit about our life in Cyprus, things we've experienced, just some broad things that have provided a learning opportunity for us. And then I want to give you three things that we've learned that may help you as we begin to invite and live life together. And, you know, one of the biggest blessings of moving to Cyprus has been our cross-cultural experience. It really has changed our family's life, the interaction with people from all over the world. It's changed how we view things. It's changed how we view how we do church, even in our own faith. And, you know, one of the things I try and do these days is when I'm studying the word and I'm looking at what I believe about some topic, I like to go, okay, do I believe this because I was raised in America and that's influencing me, or is it biblical? And I've learned to do that. And some of the things, yeah, just because, you know, I learned it here it's biblical and it's what I should be believing, but I like to go, okay, what biases and prejudices do I have that are influencing? Because we've been experiencing other people from all over. Let me give you a quick list. Austria, Belarus, Brazil, Canada, China, Cyprus, Denmark, Egypt, England, Finland, Germany, India, Iran, Italy, Latvia, Lebanon, Nepal, Nigeria, Northern Ireland, Norway, Philippines, Poland, Romania, Russia, Serbia, South Africa, South Korea, Sweden, Switzerland, the Netherlands, Uruguay, USA, and Yemen. I've never been to all those countries, but we've had the blessing, the privilege, and the honor of having people from all of those countries walk through our front door and spend time with them, talk to them, listen to them. And interacting with them, you know, language is different, culture is different. So one thing we've learned is we've got to sit, we've got to listen, we've got to learn from them. And this is sometimes a challenge. It is difficult. We've learned not to make assumptions, but to clarify, you know, not to make judgments. Angie one time was having a very deep spiritual conversation, and Google Translate played a very important role in that conversation because English didn't translate into the language the person spoke, and that person's language didn't translate back, but through modern technology, you know, we were able to do that. You know, our church experience also has been an amazing learning experience for us. And, you know, there aren't as many Protestant evangelical churches in Cyprus. And there's a handful of them in the city we live in. You can't shop around, you can't look for the church that looks like you, believes like you do. And so, you know, in our church family, we have a wide variety of beliefs and traditions, and we don't see eye to eye on everything, but we do see eye to eye on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we hold firmly to that. And we have interesting conversations sometimes about other things. But we love Jesus and we want others to know him too and love him. And so we come together with that. We have no paid staff. There's no paid staff. Don't get any ideas and don't get nervous here. No. We all pitch in to make it work and to go. And it's just different. It's a different way of doing it. But it's been a learning experience for us. Another thing that's influenced us is we live in a country whereby looking at us, you can tell we are not from there. By the end of the summer, I can get dark enough where I can maybe start looking a little olive-skinned like a Mediterranean person, but if we open our mouths, people for sure know, you're not from here. Even our English is a little bit different than the English that most people speak. It's more of a British English, and ours isn't. It's funny, and what we've learned, we're a guest in their country. We're an immigrant. We are different. And, I was getting one of my children their bike fixed one time, and this is a common question. They'll look at me, hear my accent, where are you from? And I'll, say I'm from the United States. And the reaction is usually typical. Either their jaw will kind of drop a little bit, or they'll get this really quizzical look on their face, and they'll go, well, why do you live here? You could be in the United States and you're choosing, and a lot of times it's a great little entryway of I can share why we're there. And so all these experiences have been amazing for us, and there's been incredible challenges. I don't want to make it sound like, it's just the easiest thing in the world and everything's worked out. There are difficulties along the way, there are challenges, and there will be into the future as well. But God is good. And he has taught us so much through that. And so I want to share a few things through all those things that have shaped us and some things we've learned that hopefully will help you. And so as we look at this, how can we invite all generations and all cultures to share life? And how do we do that here? And so the first thing that we have learned is that you don't need to be a super Christian to do these things. Every single person in here can do this. Some people we've heard, oh, we could never do that. Our family could, we could never move halfway across the world and do that. And we'd agree with you, we could never do that either. And when we did it, we weren't ready. And we had no idea what we were doing, what we were getting into. And pretty much every week we figure out things we still don't have any idea what we're doing and getting into. But by the grace of God, it is. We can look back and go, it's only because of him that we've been able to do this. And so even in your seat here, or if you're watching online, you may be thinking a similar thing just in Centennial. I don't know how to share Christ with others. I don't know how to view them in the image of God and treat them that way. And you can't on your own. It's only going to be through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the grace of God that you're able to do that. And so I just want to encourage every single person in this room, myself included, I have to remind myself that Jesus wants us to view them, everybody we come into contact with, as an image bearer of our Heavenly Father and to love them. And that we all can do it. We don't have to wait until we've taken all the classes. We don't have to wait till we have everything memorized. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you love him, that's all that matters. You can share life with other people, and they can see that. We laugh, Angie and I, we have people to our home, and they definitely do not see perfection in our home. it's usually messy, and they get here, dinner might not be ready yet, the kids are running around, and maybe you relate to these things, but we're not there to present them with perfection. We're there to present them with the love of Christ. And so what we hope is they see a husband and wife who love each other through their mistakes, who are parenting to the best they can. And we hope they get a glimpse of the love of Christ through our actions and the way that we treat them. And that's all that you need to really be striving for, is to give people a glimpse of the love of Christ. And whether that's in your home, whether it's the barista who serves you your coffee, another parent at the soccer game, it's just showing the love of Christ in every interaction that we have. So that's the first thing we learned, is that it doesn't take a super Christian to do these things. Every single one of us can do it. The second thing is, it's one thing to have that head knowledge, and maybe you're there and you understand that, but it's another thing to actually do it. And so the second thing we've learned is that we need to step out of our comfort zone and take the initiative. And if you do know me a little bit, and I've probably talked about this before, I'm not an extrovert. I am a big time introvert, actually. So it does not come naturally for me to invite people, to want to go talk to somebody, to talk and hang out. And I'd rather just kind of keep to myself, go about my day, give me a book I can go read, or that kind of thing. But the more and more that I wrestle with this, and the more and more God works on this in my life, he's teaching me, you know what, Brandon? It's not all about you. It's not. God didn't create me to live the life I wanted. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't give me good things and he doesn't want me to enjoy things in him and his creation, but he didn't create me to live the life I wanted. He created you to live the life he wants for you. And that's not easy, especially for me to understand and to live out, but it's the reality. He wants us to be showing the love of Christ with others, to be treating them as a child of his. He wants us to be proactive in that. And it made me think of the story of Jesus in John 4 with the woman at the well. And the passage, he and the disciples are on a trip and they're heading, and they need to cut across through Samaria to get there. The disciples had gone into town to get food and look for things. And Jesus sits down at this well. And the passage says he was tired. And he sat down, and there's this woman there. And if it was me, I would have let her get her water. I would have waited till she was done, and then I would have got mine. Because I'm tired, and I don't really want to interact, and I don't want to, engage with this person. And Christ even had some other things. He was, culturally speaking, for a man to talk with a woman was a little bit of a cultural taboo like that. And also the bigger one in the passage mentions that he was Jewish and she was Samaritan, and you didn't typically talk to one another. And she even asks him, "Why are you talking to me?" when he does. So I would have had lots of excuses, but Christ didn't let those things get in the way. He saw a woman that he loved, who he was going to die for, and who needed to hear about him. And if you know the story, because Jesus didn't allow these excuses to get in the way, she came to faith in him and then was an evangelist. She went and told everyone about him that she could. And you know what? It is so easy. I think of experiences, and maybe you can think of something in your head, even maybe this past week, where you felt like you should have done something. There's a person God put in your way, and you I'm just too tired, or I don't feel like it right now, or I have no idea what I would say. Where do I start? And when I'm thinking of those things, the Holy Spirit sometimes will challenge me with a deep spiritual question as I'm coming up with excuses. He'll say to me, "So what? God, I'm tired. So? I don't know what to say to that person. So?" And you know what? I never have a great response to him. It's such a simple question, but I never have a legitimate response. And so if you're like me and you have plenty of excuses, I want next time, I'm praying the Holy Spirit will ask you that question, so what? And so one of the things that we try to do, and I do, and is I pray for God to give me strength to be able to do this, to be more proactive. And one of the things that I try and practice this is at church, if I see a new person, I try not to let them leave without at least saying hi to them, introducing myself, finding out their name, sharing my name with them, inviting them to something appropriate if I find out they're interested in something. I know here you can fill out a card and there's if you're a guest and you take it to the back. I challenge everyone here, if you see somebody new, don't let the person at the counter in the back be the first person they talk to. Hopefully they'll have multiple people run into them before they get to the back. But that doesn't just apply here at church. Like I said earlier, the barista, the person who, you know, you give them an exchange of money for a caffeine fix. Maybe it's your neighbor, your, like I said, parents at school or someone you work with. View all of them as somebody that you need to step out of your comfort zone and interact with. Someone who has concerns, worries, just like you do. Somebody who maybe an awesome thing happened that day and they just want to tell somebody. Give them the opportunity to be the person that they share that with. And you don't need to know what to say. You know, I was at breakfast with somebody this past week and our server had taken an order and already interacted with us quite a bit. And he asked me, did she tell us her name? And I was like, I don't think so. So the next time she came to the table, he said, you know what, what's your name? We didn't get your name. And her whole attitude changed because he had treated her like a human being, like somebody who mattered and to God. And so that's all it takes. It can be as simple as just saying to somebody, what's your name? And who knows where that conversation will go from there. You don't need to have a program or know how the whole conversation is going to play out in your mind. Step out of your comfort zone. Take the initiative and reach out to somebody. So we've learned that, you know, everybody can do this. We've learned that we need to step out. We need to be proactive in doing this. But don't worry, it's not on your own strength. God will give you the strength to do it. The third thing that we've learned that hopefully might help you is you need to listen to people. You just need to listen. And maybe you're aware of the current political, cultural climate right now, but there's not a lot of listening happening. Lots of people talking, lots of people shouting, lots of people making sure you know what they think, but not a lot of listening. And I was thinking of when someone asked Jesus, what are the greatest commandments? And he says, the first is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. The second one, so love your neighbor as yourself. And there's probably not a person in this room who doesn't love it when somebody will genuinely sit down with them and just listen to them. You know, it's an amazing thing. It's a gift when somebody will take the time to sit and just listen to you, make eye contact with you, not interrupt what you're saying to get across their opinion. I joke, I'm great at this. My wife, if she wants to talk, I'll solve her problem. I'll be able to solve everything. She's like, I just want you to listen to me, right? Because there's just something about that sometimes of someone hearing you, not trying to fix it, not trying to do that, but just listening to you. It's an amazing gift that we can give other people. I found this in the Gospels. Jesus asks over 300 questions. And according to my research, you know how many he answers in the Gospels? He answers 3 questions in all the Gospels. That's a ratio of 100 to 1. For every 1 question Jesus answers, he's asking 100 questions. Now, I don't know, we don't have every conversation recorded in the Bible, but is there something we can learn from Jesus in that? Because what we've learned is that not only do people love to be listened to, they like to have questions asked about what they're saying and about them. And again, it just changes that person's mood and attitude. Because when you ask somebody a question and you genuinely mean it, they feel valued, they feel respected, they feel wanted. And so if we have the goal of when we meet with people to hear from them, and then to ask them questions and ask more questions, ask a follow-up question. The next time you see them, ask them a question about something you learned from the last time. Hey, how did that meeting go? You told me you were gonna do this or that. It will change the way that your relationship, the dynamic of that, because people love being listened to. And one little thing that we found is really helpful, and we have to use it because we're often dealing with people who don't speak our language and our cultural understandings are sometimes different, and that's active listening. And my wife and I, Angie, we first learned this technique in a marital counseling session. And remember, you don't have to be a super Christian. You're not perfect to do these things. We were in it was either a marital class or a counseling session, and this active listening is just after somebody shares something with you, you ask them, so if I heard you correctly, this is what you were saying, and you paraphrase it back. And what we found is one of two things. One, the person goes, yes, you heard me. You know, that's what I said. Or they'll say, no, that's not what I meant. Maybe let me phrase it differently. And we found even when people speak the same language, have the same culture, it's a really valuable tool. Because a couple of things happen when people feel genuinely listened to and heard. One is it's like I said, it's just going to change how they feel about that relationship, the dynamic. It's going to make them feel loved and welcome. The second thing that's going to happen is the more a person feels loved, valued, and heard, the more they're going to listen to you when it's your opportunity to eventually speak to them. And I had this experience recently in work. I was working on a project, and I was working with another team, and I met with them, and one of the first things I did is, okay, tell me what you're doing, what's going on, what's happening. And as I was listening to them and hearing them, I'm realizing that my part of the project was going to be no longer needed at that point, or I needed to help them. And so I shared that with them. I said, okay, I'm going to push pause on what I'm wanting to do, and I'm going to help you do what you would like to do and make your portion of it successful. And you know, a week or two later, one of the team members contacted me, and they said, I just want to thank you. And I was like, well, what for? I haven't done anything. And they said, I wanted to thank you because you listened to us. I said, well, what do you mean? How do you know I listened to you? Well, we know that you listened to us because you were willing to push pause on your agenda and make us the priority in what we wanted and what we were doing. And so we need to learn to listen to people. We then also need to be humble enough and to sometimes push pause on our own agendas and put them in the forefront and make them a priority. So you don't need to be a super Christian. You need to get out there, be proactive. And we need to listen to people. And even as I'm saying those three things, if I'm honest, none of them come easy for me. I'm a type of person who likes to have it all together. I like to know the answer for everything. I don't like to know that I'm not the super person. Sometimes I'd rather just sit back, let things come to me, rather than go out and be the ambassador that God wants me to be. And I also realize, you know, listening is difficult. I like to tell people what I think. I like to make sure they know what I think. But that, I truly think, you know, God's got me right where he wants me. If I were super good at these things, if I could do these on my own, I wouldn't need him. But because I can't do this on my own, I have to rely on him. I have to seek wisdom. I have to seek guidance and strength from the Holy Spirit. And I've found that he is good. And as I do these things that were really scary to begin with become a little bit less scary over time. They're still scary. I still struggle with some of these things and I still need his help. But maybe you relate to this. As you think about those three things, some of them are scary, maybe all of them are scary. And so what I'd like to encourage you, I'd like to challenge you today is I want you to ask God to help you to view every single person that you come into contact with as somebody created in his image who needs to experience the love of Jesus Christ. And that God would use you to do that. I'd also like to challenge you, to encourage you, pick one of these three things and try it this week. You know, maybe it's that you need to really fully understand and appreciate that you can do this. Not on your own strength, but through the strength of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's you need to do something this week to step out of your comfort zone and speak to somebody, to initiate relationship with them. Or maybe it's you have a person you just need to listen to this next time you interact with them. So I almost want to challenge you to pick the one that's most uncomfortable with you, for you. Because guess what? It's going to be scary. You're not going to do it. If you try and do it on your own, you'll probably fall on your face. So you're going to need to ask God for his help. Maybe ask somebody else, hey, I'm going to do this. Pray for me. But try, step out of your comfort zone, because when you do that, you'll experience God's presence and his help as you do that, and he'll give you the strength. So let me pray in closing for God to help you do that. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the reminder through today's passage and through this message that you have created every single one of us in your image. You sent your son to die for every single person. Help us as we interact, whether it's for a few seconds with somebody, even if they've wronged us, or if it's a relationship we've had for a long time, help us to view that person through the lens of they are a human being created in your image, and you love them, and we need to love them too. I pray for everybody here this week as we practice the mission statement of the church to invite and live life together across generations, across cultures. It's hard. So we pray for the power and the strength of your Holy Spirit to give us the wisdom, to give us the guidance. Maybe it's the courage that we need this week to do one of these three things. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give us the strength, you would give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.